the recipe to engage in the Arab American community is not that difficult. Come speak to us, listen to our concerns, engage us, and if we feel that you are addressing our issues in an adequate way, we'll come out and support you.
So are political candidates effectively doing this? As with any voting bloc, there's nuance and depth of opinion. But the Arab American community is large enough to have a major impact on election results in Michigan. This is the Stateside Podcast. I'm April Baer. 4 years ago, somewhere around 20 to 30% of Arab Americans said that they were leaning toward voting for Donald Trump for president ahead of the election. And then this happened.
President Donald Trump signed an executive order Friday temporarily banning all refugees from entering the country and barring access for 90 days to nationals from seven majority Muslim nations.
President Trump has a record of banning travel to numerous Muslim and Arab countries, citing safety concerns. But despite this, there are still many people in our Arab communities who either hold conservative views of the world or who believe Donald Trump's approach to a capitalist democracy is the preferable alternative. Rima Merwe is director of the National Network for Arab American Communities. And Ali Harb is a reporter for Middle East Eye.
Rima, can I start with a question to you? Tell me a little bit about the conversations that you've had with community members around politics and the presidential election.
So we've worked a lot with Arab American communities and more broadly with immigrant communities on ensuring that people have the information they need to actually register and then make a plan to vote. We have been hearing a lot about issues and what is concerning to Arab Americans. Small business owners have had concerns about the COVID-19 response. Immigration and the Muslim ban are issues that are of concern to Arab Americans. But beyond that, I think it's important to remember that Arab Americans are concerned with healthcare and education as well. These are issues that impact our daily lives as communities in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, various folks around Michigan are dealing with several kinds of challenges, from just figuring out what the best public health decision is and how they're going to vote. There is the issue of misinformation that some voters are grappling with. To what extent are these concerns on people's minds?
What we're seeing is that the misinformation campaigns that are out there are really confusing people. There's no clear place where people can go to get information on how to navigate the pandemic. And people are very concerned with that. Whether they are thinking through, how do I deal with this because of my child who is not being able to connect to their teachers every day with learning, whether it's, you know, knowing where you can get treated, whether it's even knowing how to get tested for COVID-19. So there's no clear path for people to be able to deal with this pandemic, and that is definitely of great concern to a lot of people.
Ali Harb, your work over the past couple of weeks has ranged over a lot of different topics. You know, sometimes you're talking with Arab American and Muslim American voters or Arab Christian voters. Sometimes you're talking with people who show up at campaign rallies. Do you see lines of connection between things that have been said at presidential campaign rallies and the actual lives of Arab American voters that you talk to?
Today, more than ever, there isn't a question over whether what happens in Washington, what happens in politics, and what happens at the polling booth affects our lives, because we see it every day. People are grappling with COVID. People are struggling to keep their small businesses open. People are suffering with their loved ones abroad and unable to join them here. So especially in the Arab, Muslim, Middle Eastern communities here, people are more acutely aware today of the importance of this election, how much it impacts their daily lives than ever.
Rashida Tlaib has also established herself in Washington as a true progressive and oftentimes a foil for President Trump. However, there have been generations of Arab American congressional leaders who are more conservative. I'm thinking of former Senator Spence Abraham, Republican from Michigan, who was Lebanese American. How do Tlaib's politics line up with Arab Americans living in Michigan today?
Rashida, I think there are two things that resonate with the Arab American community. First and foremost, people see themselves in her. They're seeing a woman who is representing them. But more importantly, I think what Rashida does is she listens. She brings their issues to Washington. And I think that is what people are seeing. through her. And yes, I do see a lot of people align themselves with her. The Arab American community is very diverse, so that doesn't mean that everyone is going to agree with her. However, for the most part, the communities that we serve connect with Rashida because she brings their issues. She brings their concerns of healthcare, of car insurance, of education. So it's not necessarily that every Arab American is going to agree with Rashida, but it most certainly is with several of the communities that we serve. We do see that impact she has on them.
Rima, President Trump caused a stir in his first term when he banned travel from specific Arab and Muslim majority countries. How did the travel ban change the political discussion for Arab American voters in Michigan who had family living there? Or did it indeed change the discussion for them?
It most certainly changed the discussion for some Arab Americans. You have to think of the Arab American community as a community in diaspora, and Arab Americans have come to the United States for generations. There are some whose extended families are all here. There are many, many who still have family in the Arab world. There are so many examples of families who have not been able to not only bring their family members, their immediate family members, I'm not talking about extended family, but haven't been able to bring spouses or haven't been able to bring children or parents. But beyond that, there are families who haven't been able to even visit their families. It's not necessarily just about always bringing their families here, but haven't been able to visit their families. So that conversation has changed the landscape for a lot of Arab Americans because it's not only the immigration issue, it's the targeted issue. People feel targeted that this is a place where I am from. This is my heritage. I may have a new home, but this is my heritage. You're essentially, by banning this, you're saying everyone there is not good. And so people are concerned with that. And that impacts their children as well.
That's a long time for families that may have really relied on those annual visits or sometimes more often as a lifeline. The president also launched a deportation raid on many Chaldean immigrants early on in his tenure. Now, the Chaldean community does not identify as Arab American. It tends to have a more conservative voting base, and a few prominent Republicans within the community were pretty upset. Ali, you wrote a fascinating piece not long ago, gauging the political blowback. Can you explain what you found among Chaldeans?
Yeah, I mean, let's go back a little bit to 2017, 2018, when Donald Trump announced his Muslim ban. The first travel ban known as the Muslim ban included Iraq in it. And then after some negotiations between the Trump administration and the Iraqi government, Iraq was removed from the ban in exchange for starting to accept deportees from the United States. So many people, hundreds of people, Iraqi Americans across the country who had been living with deportation orders and open up businesses, having families, shielded by the Iraqi government's refusal to take back deportees, now lost that protection. And all of a sudden, ICE agents are showing up everywhere and rounding up people and detaining them, people who truly feel American, people who have been here for decades, people who don't speak any other language but English, people who have never been to Iraq, even who were born outside of Iraq but are Iraqi nationals. And that caused such a national outcry just because of the cruelty and how unnecessary it was. And last year, Jimmy Al-Dawood, who had never been to Iraq, who had struggled with mental illness, died in Baghdad after his deportation because he did not have access to his life-saving diabetes drug.
This is probably the most well-known deportation of Jimmy, who grew up in Michigan.
So I thought, at least as an objective observer, that the Chaldean community would come out strongly against the president come 2020. But that did not happen because the Chaldean community has very strong politically and socially conservative values. But what I heard from a lot of people from the community is that they're small business owners. They're scared and skeptical of large economic plans that involve higher taxation. So that drives them towards Republicans. They are very pro-life. As devout Catholics, that's something that they say they're not going to compromise on, and it's not negotiable to them. On top of that, the president has specifically made outreach to the Chaldean community, where he would come out and say, we're going to stop the deportation of Chaldeans. They're great people. He sent his children to meet with community leaders here. And it may not change policy, but many folks in the Chaldean community, they feel heard and recognized. Here comes Trump and he speaks to their issues, even though the deportations are still ongoing and the cases are pending in court. Just his coming out and saying, we're going to protect the wonderful Chaldean community, that resonated with a lot of folks.
When we come back, more of our conversation with Rima Meruwe and Ali Harb. Stick around.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
We definitely could talk about the ways that Bernie Sanders' campaign, you know, reached out, especially to younger people in Arab American communities. I mean, I don't know the extent to which Joe Biden has picked up that ball and rolled with it, much less, you know, where the Republican Party as a whole might stand trying to make inroads with religiously conservative Arab American groups, whether Christian, Orthodox, or Muslim. What do you think?
I think one of the things that we're not hearing here is that Arab Americans have a diversity in what they think. And I think either party will understand that if they bring Arab Americans to the table. There's definitely a lot of room for growth, for discussions with Arab Americans from both parties. And I think that when Arab Americans are at the table with those discussions, they will understand how to get the Arab American vote. Arab Americans are very diverse. There's clearly a diversity in thought. There's a progressive movement among Arab Americans, but there's also a conservative movement among Arab Americans. So there's definitely room for both parties, I think, to continue to have these discussions and understand how to get the Arab American vote.
Ali Harb, what do you see the Biden campaign doing to try to engage? Has the presence been enough?
So Dr. Jill Biden was here in Dearborn last week. He was in front of Shatila Bakery, which was a very symbolic gesture. Shatila Bakery is a pastry shop in Dearborn that started as a very small store by an immigrant from Lebanon, and now it has turned into the successful business that ships sweets across the country and the world. So I think he paid a nod to Arab American entrepreneurship by delivering a speech in front of Shatila where she spoke about the Arab experience. She promised Arab Americans a seat at the table in a Biden administration, but we cannot discount the effects of COVID-19 on campaigning. You can no longer hold rallies and bring thousands of people to compromise their health and well-being in hopes to get their vote. So that particular event was very small, by invitation only, a couple dozen people sitting socially distant. So it did not generate the kind of enthusiasm you would look for in a community like the Arab American community in Dearborn. And then Senator Kamala Harris, the vice presidential nominee, she also made an unannounced stop at an Arabic restaurant here in Dearborn, where she had a couple of photos with people. But then again, from what I'm seeing, the Biden campaign is struggling to generate the buzz and replicate the enthusiasm that Senator Sanders had. Perhaps part of that is the pandemic. Perhaps part of that is maybe struggling to know to speak to Arab American issues and connect to the activists on the ground who are able to speak to the community. Now, the Biden campaign, they have released an Arab American plan addressing many issues of the Arab American community, including programs like countering violent extremism, which are seen as a surveillance program against Arab Muslim Americans, including pledging to provide resources to small business owners, including addressing refugee admission, reversing the Muslim ban. But how are they communicating those plans to the community? That's where the question mark hangs. But what I have seen is many people, local politicians, independent of the Biden campaign, are working very hard to get the vote out. And they're really sending a message to the community that this is a life or death situation, that you must vote, that you have no choice to stay at home.
Yeah, I think Arab Americans are becoming much more politically active and understanding their role in this democracy. And I think they're understanding the difference between elected officials coming to do events that may seem, on the surface, may seem like they're trying to engage them, and understanding the difference between that and actually having Arab Americans at the table for policy discussions. And I think all candidates can do better with that.
As we wrap this up, Ali, let's maybe bring this back around to the statistic that I cited earlier, that, you know, maybe there's a quarter of the Arab American population out there who was leaning toward voting for Donald Trump. What do you make of that?
So support for Trump in the Arab community could be explained by several factors, one of which is party loyalty. Long before the Republican Party became the party of xenophobia under Donald Trump, it stood for conservative values that many Arab Americans identified with. Many Arab American elected officials are Republican. And this becomes a type of party loyalty, and people vote along party lines. If my dad is a Republican, I'm going to be a Republican. And if I'm a Republican, I'm going to vote for President Donald Trump. But I would be remiss if I did not note that Dearborn is not Arab America. Dearborn may be the capital of Arab America, but the capital and the rest of the country don't look the same. Washington does not look like the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. In 2016, support for Donald Trump in Dearborn in Arab American precincts was negligible. In the two precincts in the south end of Dearborn, which are predominantly Yemeni American specifically, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton received more than 1,100 votes. Donald Trump received 70. That's barely any votes, and we don't know if those 70 votes came from Arab Americans, because in these neighborhoods, there are still many white folks who may lean Republican. I think it remains to be seen how much that support is. The polls put the number of support for Donald Trump at 25-30%. But I think specifically in Southeast Michigan, where there are large concentrations of Arab Americans, Dearborn, Hamtramck, Detroit, Melvindale, I don't see that number rising above 5%. Yes, Arab Americans are very politically diverse, but Arab Americans, at least here in Southeast Michigan, they bore the brunt of the Muslim ban, of the daily incitement, of the xenophobia. Just 2 days ago, the president was in Lansing and he said that Michigan has a huge problem with refugees and Biden wants to turn the state into a refugee camp for Syrians and Somalis. And I think those statements have diminished Republican support in the Arab American community. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. I'm not saying that nationwide it's not significant. But from my own observations, speaking to people here, it's very minimal.
And I think this takes us back to the issue of the Arab American community is not monolithic. You will not be able to have one person or one party speak to Arab Americans. The only solution to this is that elected officials will have to engage the Arab American community on various issues and have real discussions and bring Arab Americans to the policy discussions and include them in policy changes. And it will not be as simple as how do we get the Arab American vote.
We've been talking today with Rima Meruay and Ali Harb. That's the Stateside podcast for today. If you'd like to hear more of our show, you can find the full Stateside episode at michiganradio.org. I'm April Baer. Our executive producer is Laura Weber-Davis. Today's Stateside was produced by Rachel Ishikawa with help from Jennifer Guerra. Music is by Blue Dot Sessions, and our theme music is by 14KT. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great weekend.